Coming up after Paul Harvey is Uwe Kalinka with a story to tell you that I think you're going to be very interested in.
Mike Porcaro, News Radio 650, KENI.
49 at the studios of the 50,000-watt blowtorch of the north. News Radio 650, KENI. Mostly cloudy tonight, low 28. Sunny tomorrow with a high of 48. On April 6, 2003, at 1 o'clock in the afternoon, Uwe Kalinka was peacefully passing out pamphlets during the Alaska Sportsman Show at the Sullivan Arena. The pamphlets contained information encouraging citizens to vote for Kalinka to become a board member of Chugach Electric. And then life changed. Uwe Kalinka is with me. Uwe, how are you?
Hello, Mr. Picara. Pleasure to be here.
Well, my pleasure, too. What happened after that?
Well, after that, a manager from the Sullivan Arena came out advising us that we need to disappear. And, of course, we declined because we felt we were on public property. And he told us that he would call the police. And we said, fine. You know, we went through that routine before where the police came and they agreed that we were on public property. Mm-hmm. So we didn't see no problem. Well, this time around, when the police showed up, we didn't have much of a say there. They made short work of us and handcuffed us and took us to a squad car separately. Karen Bretz at the time was with me. She was a friend of mine at the time, and we were passing out those pamphlets.
Mm-hmm.
And they put us in separate vehicles. Now they asked me to get into a police vehicle, being handcuffed, being 59 years or 58 years old at that time. As you can imagine, you're not that agile anymore, so I had difficulties getting in there. And when I just couldn't, I just sat at the end of the seat with the feet dangling out. And the officer came on the other side and grabbed me under my arms and just yanked me right in there. And, of course, all the weight is right on your wrists. And when he put on the handcuffs, he made darn sure that I knew who was in charge. I mean, 3 months afterwards, my middle finger was still numb.
Now, why did he put you in handcuffs? Did you not answer his questions? Did you not answer questions? And then what was his reason for putting you in handcuffs?
Well, that's a good question, because he grabbed me from behind and said, step over on the sidewalk. And at that point, I put my hands up over my head, you know, which is, sure, everybody can recognize that's a sign that you're passive.
Sure.
And as I had one hand up, he took it down and put it right behind my back, and handcuffs came on, and the other hand too. There was not much explanation of anything there.
Okay. So
there was not much of a conversation.
Now, you were taken to the jail?
Well, we were first sitting in there for an hour and a half till they called the supervising officer, which introduced himself as Officer Honemann. And, of course, at that period of time, I didn't know the connection between Honemann and Chugach Electric. Or should I say that he also was running at the previous time for the same position I was running for. But he tried to strike a conversation with us, and we told him that all we wanted to do is talk to our attorney. Okay, we felt that we were exercising our First Amendment rights, that we didn't have to answer any questions. Well, he sort of got offended, and as he walked away, I overheard him when he said to the other officers, take him downtown and give him the full treatment, whatever that meant. Okay, so we were sitting for an hour and a half in the police vehicles before they took us to the courthouse. Well, once we got to the courthouse, they directed us to get out of the vehicle. But at a point in time, I couldn't. My feet already were numb, so I didn't say nothing. Okay, and after Karen Bretz went into the courthouse, she came out and said, why don't you get out? And I explained to her that I couldn't move. Mm-hmm. At that point, the magistrate, Will Kapolsky, came out of the courthouse directing the officers to take me to jail. So once I got down to jail, again, the same scenario, they asked me to get out of the vehicle, and I told them, I hate to tell you, but I cannot move. And from there on, the fun started. You know, first of all, they thought I was just faking it, and they were, how should I say, making remarks to that effect and ridiculing me. And when they finally realized that that was the case, and I told them, better get a wheelchair, they did do so.
Okay. Now, they took you and they put you, they thought you were suicidal, is that right?
Well, after that, you know, of course, I got processed by telephone with the judge or the magistrate. And after that, they wheeled me in a little room and told me I better get up. And I told them I'm more than happy to if I can, you know. And by that time, of course, my legs somewhat, again, some feeling back in them. And one guy took me on the left and one on the right, and after a few minutes, I was able to stand up. And then a nurse came, and she asked me if I was suicidal, and of course, I didn't say nothing, exercising my right. And she asked me three times, and I didn't answer, and she said, well, I conclude that you're suicidal, and in the meantime, they already said that they have a special cell for me if I don't answer the question. Okay, and I didn't realize what that meant, and well, once they made the determination that I was suicidal, of course, all hell broke loose, excuse my language, but my belt came off, and they rummaged immediately through my pockets, and then they took me in this cell, which is a bare cell with only concrete in there, and a stool out of stainless steel and a hole in the floor, and directed me to get on the floor, and they forced me onto the floor. Keep in mind, still handcuffed. So I was laying flat on the floor, and by the way, I can watch where the floor is heated. But anyway, and then they took my legs, put them on the back. One guy sat on my legs while another guy was left, another one to the right. And then they loosened a handcuff and wrenched my arm over my head. And while they were doing so, you know, they were choking. Oh, he is resisting. Oh, he is resisting. And it was very unpleasant, to put it mildly.
All right. We're going to pick up your story when we come back. Uwe Kalinka is my guest. An interesting story about what happens when you are passing out campaign literature. We'll be right back. We are back. It's 5:51 here at 650 KUNI. Uwe Kalinka is my guest, and we are listening to the story about Uwe passing out campaign literature. Then he was arrested. Now, during this whole time, you were stripped naked. You were thrown on the floor in a cell. How many times did you ask to see your attorney?
At least six times while I was sitting in the squad car, and at least two or three times while I was being processed with the magistrate. And when I asked for my attorney then, he said, well, oh, they cannot come back there. They are up front. We don't let anybody back in there.
So did they give you any reason other than that was just procedure at the time?
Just was the procedure. Nobody could come back there.
Okay, so in your mind here, what happened was, you were exercising your right to remain silent, and you said they were making you miserable.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. If you do not answer their question, they make it very clear what's going to come down the pike.
All right, now, let's fast forward. Recently, you were awarded a decision in mediation of $50,000. Tell me about that. How did that happen? And you told me earlier that you would have foregone the money if you had gotten an apology.
Absolutely. If there would have been some reprimand for those arresting officers, or at least some re-education so they know and, honor our constitutional rights toward the citizens, the money to me didn't mean nothing. The apology is what means something to me and the vindication thereof. And that was number one. And the number two is that this will not happen to anybody else in this city. To me, it's egregious that something like that could happen to us.
Now, you got a letter from the municipal attorney. It says, I would like to assure you that the municipality of Anchorage regrets the events that gave rise to this legal action, and especially to the adverse impact these events had upon your family. In the future, the municipality will respect the First Amendment rights of petitioners and pamphleteers to solicit signatures and distribute materials in the areas outside of the Sullivan Arena building or any public property in the municipality.
That last paragraph is what was most important to me, to ensure that that will not happen again to anybody else. Now, as far as the letter of regret, you can interpret that any which way. The way I interpret it, they regret that they were not successful in prosecuting me, and they're sorry for that part.
Okay,
so I'm cynical, if you will.
All right, so nobody has been reprimanded, no one's lost a job. Has anybody from the city made any overtures to you or come to see you or talk to you about, what could be done better in the future or anything?
Nobody, none. Absolutely zero. And I need to state here that at one point I spoke to Mayor Begich, and he was sympathetic, but unfortunately, and I really regret that he didn't take the opportunity to show that he's a statesman and have an apology there. Statesmen apologize, politicians don't.
Okay, so the money's in your account. You've got some bills to pay with that from your attorneys.
Of course.
So it's too late for an apology at this point.
At this point, it's too late.
Okay, so if somebody said, Duve, oh my goodness, I didn't realize, we're sorry. Too bad. You're keeping the 50 grand.
Oh yeah, absolutely. I have an attorney expenses and miscellaneous expenses, you know. Somebody needs to cover him. It's just unfortunate that the taxpayer, which is you and me again, mm-hmm. have to foot the bill, and that some of those perpetrators, not even a reprimand, nothing to my knowledge. I think that's outrageous. From my perspective, there should be a civilian oversight committee for the police department, that if a citizen does have a complaint, it will be addressed by the citizens, not by the police. Self-investigation is nothing more than the fox being in charge of the hen house.
So what's next for you? I mean, you're a pretty active guy. You're still on the Chugach board, right?
Yes.
At this point?
Yes.
And, what else? What other things are you involved in?
There are so many wrongs that we could correct. There is no end to it. So I'm sure there are plenty more out there.
All right. Well, let's take a quick call here from Sandy. Let's do that. Sandy, real quick call. You're on with Uwe. Go ahead.
Yes, Uwe. I really sincerely wish that you had held out for more money, because this, what happened to you, is not unusual. I've heard of many cases, and they prove that suicide did a lot. And I hope that someone does recognize what was done to you. And I think it's terrible, and the magistrate should be put out too, because he didn't know the law. Thank you, dear.
All right, thanks, Andy.
Thank you, Sandy, for your comment. The reason we settled at this point in time, I'm sure you recognize lawsuits can draw out for 3, 4, 5 years. That's one of the tactics they use. And I have so many other things on my plate right now. As I'm sure most of you are aware, my son was murdered here 2 years ago, and I have multiple things on my hands there, so I figured it's time to clear the plate one thing at a time. That's basically one reason. And I accomplished what I wanted to accomplish, namely that they will agree that they will not violate anybody else's First Amendment rights.
Okay, so now let me ask you the $64,000 question. Next time you run for something, you're going to be back out on the Sullivan Arena?
Well, to answer your question, I already have been down there. I was campaigning for a fellow board member down there, and I made it a point to be down there.
Right. Any problems? Any?
Oh, no. None whatsoever.
All right, so hopefully that's all been taken care of. All right, let me just grab Bill here real quick. Bill, real quick, go ahead, you're on with Uwe. Real quick.
Yeah, Bill, this Bill here.
Yeah, go ahead.
Hey, I think that Uwe's sad probably because he didn't get more money. You know, back in the old days, we used to call this a rabble-rousing scamming. And I think that's what he was looking for. I'm sorry. I've seen him in action for too many years, and I just think that it's a scam.
All right, thanks, Bill. All right, well, Uwe, I'm going to give you the last word for 5 seconds.
Go ahead. It's very unfortunate that Bill thinks that way, but there are some people that have higher principle than he obviously has. I guess all he can think of is the money. That is not the fact for me.
All right, Uwe, thanks very much, and good luck in the future. Uwe Kalinka, my guest, and we'll be back tomorrow. Don't forget Rick Rydell tomorrow morning at 5:40. We'll be back again at 4 o'clock. My guest will be Jim Clark. We'll talk about oil and PPT and gas and stuff like that. Stay with us. Have a great evening. We'll see you then. Bye-bye.
Mike Porcaro, behind the mic of your 50,000-watt blowtorch. News Radio 650, KENI.